God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, we love you. And we know you're present in this room. You watch our service. So I pray that from the bottom of our heart, when we raise our voice, we're praising you, you would please. And for the rest of the time, we're going to listen to your message from the scripture. So I pray the Holy Spirit using me to share the principle, the lesson from the scripture. And I pray the Holy Spirit will be on you in this room, and the people in this room can hear your voice and apply the principle from the scripture for their life. And we give the glory to you, Father, and we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Never alone. You may be sick. I remember, just like some of you, when I started college, like on the income freshman, I'm so excited to entering the world of adulthood. And I remember at that time, I'm still in Vietnam, go away from my hometown to Saigon, the capital city. And half of me exciting, but another side of me is kind of scary and lonely feeling. And the same feeling, exactly the same as in 1975, when I'm alone, take off from Vietnam and escape to America. Half of me exciting because something we not experienced before. But another half of me is also scary and lonely. So just imagine the same feeling as how the disciple Jesus felt when he prepared to return to heaven. For 3 years, they had been with him, and the disciple had depended on him and heavily for encouragement from our Lord Jesus Christ for their other needs. And just imagine with me what thing would go through their mind when Christ left them. So in the passage, our Lord promised they would not be left alone, because in a few days, the Holy Spirit will come, and he would be with them forever. And one of the passage or the verse I really love in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But you shall receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and the end of the earth." And that's the message, the encouragement from Jesus Christ to his disciple when they know he will be leaving. So three things I'm going to share with you from the message, never be alone. A promise of the power of the Holy Spirit and when you would receive it. And the need of that power, and we all need the power of the Holy Spirit. And the realization of this power, what we're supposed to do with this power. The promise of this power, verse 4 to 8, chapter 1. "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me.' For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when you had come together, they asked him, saying, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?' And he said to them, 'It is not for you to know time or season, which my Father had put in his own authority. But you shall receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and the end of the earth.'" So what exactly Christ tried to communicate to his disciple, he commanded his disciple to wait for the promise of the Father. So what exactly does it mean? Because sometimes when we do God's work, we're a little bit hurried. We use our own power, our own authority, our strength to do the Lord's work. And you find out you probably will be stressed out, burned out, and eventually you may just give up. But anyway, he said, wait for the promised Father. Wait what? The Holy Spirit. And sometimes you hear the term baptized with the Holy Spirit. But in order to understand baptized by the Holy Spirit, you need to understand about baptized with water. What exactly it mean? Because after the worship service today, the Vietnamese, around 12:15 to 12:30, we're going to have baptism service. It's baptized with water. The word baptized comes from the Greek word baptizo. It means to immerse. So when we baptize in water, the person symbolized emerge into the water. It means he died his own self and rise up out of the water. He begin with a new life. So the water baptism symbolizes death, the own self, and new life when you get out of the water. That symbolizes that. So the baptism with water is an outward symbol of salvation. Yes, when we share the gospel, people pray, accept Jesus Christ as their Lord, as Savior. Okay? They pray with us. They say the word. But from public perspective, the outward appearance or communicate to the people is symbol of salvation. So the people know, yes, I am the follower of Jesus Christ. From the historical perspective, way back from the time of Jesus Christ, or the first church in the book of Acts, you would find out the church under persecution. So it takes a lot of courage and the strength, the belief to do the baptism with water. It means you may face a persecution because you publicly announce to the people you are for the follower of Jesus Christ. And it takes up a lot of courage. We praise the Lord that we live in very, very much a free country. America is a beautiful country. And regardless what the people said about you, United States of America, but I still strongly believe U.S. is still the best country in the world to live because the freedom of our belief. So that's the reason why we didn't face persecution when we express our faith as the follower of Jesus Christ. We're not face persecution when we publicly baptize with water. However, you need to understand that baptism with the Holy Spirit is a transforming experience that brings to the new life. A lot of people, yes, they may say with word, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, accept him as Lord and Savior, but it's just the word. And there's no transformation from the old person to the new person. So baptism by the Holy Spirit is very much transforming experience that brings to the new life. For the Baptists, we believe when you truly pray and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord, your Savior, you have baptism with the Holy Spirit. But again, a lot of people, yes, I'm praying, accept Christ as Lord, Savior, but I didn't see nothing happen. So you have to question yourself, do you truly believe, accept Jesus Christ as your Lord, Savior? So the Holy Spirit can be in you, can transform you to change you. So another term in the Bible talking about the filling of the Holy Spirit is the ongoing experience. When you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, the transformation process happens. But again, when you go through life, there's some up and down in life. So that's the reason why we rely on the filling of the Holy Spirit, the relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ through devotion, through Bible study, to refill ourselves with the Holy Spirit. For example, how many of you have the cell phone? You have the cell phone, iPhone, Android phone. Just imagine you use that phone and you keep talking on the phone. And for a while, suddenly your phone will be dead. That's the reason why once a while, maybe once a day, or maybe once every 2 days, you need to recharge. That cell phone, it's just like so you have the renewal power of the Holy Spirit, renew the power to run that cell phone, just as something as a renewal of the power of the Holy Spirit in you, so you can face life with His strength and His encouragement. Secondly, he's talking about the need of this power of the Holy Spirit. Now, when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud receiving him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. So what exactly Paul tried to communicate, Luke tried to communicate to the people at that time when he recorded this message? He's talking about Jesus was about to return to heaven. And when Jesus returned to heaven, a lot of people from historical record, they said it's maybe up to 60 or 70 people observe how Jesus Christ ascended into heaven. However, Jesus Christ's disciples still expect him to establish the kingdom or the earthly kingdom. So the expectation is kind of mismatched, because when Christ talking about the kingdom of God, and the disciples, the people thinking about establish the earthly kingdom. And Christ, if you study earlier in the other gospel book, he told them repeatedly he had not come for that purpose. It's mean the purpose of create the earthly kingdom. But again, his disciples didn't get it. And sometimes ourselves, we didn't get it. We didn't get the function of the responsibility or the mission of Christ when he comes to earth. And the mission of Christ, he wants to transfer to us to continue to do the work. And at least in this passage, it's talking about someday Jesus will return and set up his kingdom. But again, it's not our business to know when. Because the Bible talking about we don't know when Christ will return. But again, you study a lot of books, and some of you probably do a lot of Google, okay? And a lot of books, they're talking about, I remember way back in late 1980, there's a book talking about 88 reasons why the rapture will be in 1988. So those books now, you know, for free now, you know, you can pick up probably a pennies a dozen, you know, the rapture in 1988. And even 3 or 4 years ago, you see a group of so-called Christians, they gather in Austin, Texas, by the lake. They wait for exactly 11 o'clock, whatever, on that day, Christ will return and take them away. So they wait the whole day, nothing happened. And a lot of people, they kept go back and try to figure out how to survive, because they already sold their house, they quit the job, so they had to start on over again. But remember, the Bible never or not even mentioned the day of Christ coming back, because we don't know why. We don't know when. So if you have to study the book, figure out the rapture step, I recommend you read the book 99 Reasons Why No One Knows When Christ Will Return. Okay? By B.J. Oppenheimer. Probably about $11 or $12 a book. So that book is still selling, but the book about a 1988 rapture, you can pick up for free. But again, the disciple had a big job ahead of them. They will be witnesses to what Christ had done. So what exactly the meaning of witness? The witness is very much, it's not like an expert in particular field. Okay? But the witness, based on the scripture, he's just simply tell the people, the disciples, just tell the people what happened in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria. So they had the experience, and they just tell the people what it is. They learn, they experience. So when he talk about Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all over the earth, it means no part of the earth outside our responsibility. Last night, and praise the Lord that our church have a mission fundraising. And praise the Lord, all of you, or most of you, participate in the banquet. It's just outstanding. And we're really blessed. And the goal of fundraising is 20% above of what we pray for. It means we hit 120% of what we pray for, we expect for the mission 2018. I didn't want to tell exact number. I'd rather let the mission director tell you about the number, because he knows exactly, down to dollars, penny, and cent, all of that. But I know it's about 120% of what the church pray for. So I praise the Lord for that. But again, when we go back to the passage, the Holy Spirit will empower Christ's disciple to do the task. The task is mean witness to the people in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all over the earth. The same thing, the Holy Spirit will empower us to do the same thing. Houston, the state of Texas, North America, and all over the earth. You know, today we have our church. A couple months ago, we commissioned Pastor Reverend Eugene to have the mission for Africa, speaking French. But praise the Lord, today we have a sister. She also from Africa, first time visit our church, but to speak English. So suddenly my mind kept like widened up, because Africa, French speaking, roughly about 17 countries. And we know Swahili, Congo, probably will take care of 5 or 8 countries. And another section way back probably speak English. So maybe the Lord give us the vision within about 5 years, our church will cover the whole Africa. And our sister here may be minister to African speak English. I don't know. And that amazed. Because we have Swahili coming in, but we don't know how to speak Swahili. So we sent over to Pastor Andre, because he speaks Swahili. But again, it's just beyond USA, but Asia, Africa, and the rest of the world mostly speak English. And our church, we have 3 church members speak Chinese. So I'm saying, I might just commission 3 people, just ministry to the Chinese speaking people. And we have 1 person know how to speak Spanish. We ought to commission this person, had a ministry to the Spanish-speaking people. I took this person out to Hong Kong Mall and tried to train this person. So I tried to share the gospel in Spanish. And he kept laughing. But praise the Lord, after I'm sharing the gospel in Spanish with my broken Spanish-speaking, and the people pray, accept Christ. So he said, Pastor Hongsen, if you speak broken Spanish, people come to Christ. I speak perfect Spanish, probably the result would be much better. So he said, not yet, you got the message. So now he share the gospel twice a week in radio. Okay? So the Lord do the wonderful work. So we need to understand what exactly our strength And the Lord would use whatever we have with the power of the Holy Spirit to commission us to share the gospel, not only in Houston, Texas, but the state of Texas, America, North America, and probably all over the world. Whatever we have, and we offer to the Lord, He will use it. So He delivers from fear. He gives us the word to say. He draws people to Jesus through our witness. Our church, West Houston, had a big job ahead of us. But in order to understand this, we need to understand what exactly the purpose, why the Lord called our church to be a church. We only do three things. Exalted our Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ. Equip the saints. It means equip the people so we can evangelize the lost. And of course, the resource of our church is very, very limited. So my mind work is very, very simple. 2018, we have one big event we have to do well on three, but one push, evangelize the lost. And we already prepared last night on the mission fundraising, and the Lord gave us 120% over whatever we pray for. So we know 2018 will be our focus. And 2019, we go back to exalting Jesus Christ. So maybe we have an event here, just like last year we had the event, over 1,200 people walked through our church, and we raised, I don't know, a lot of money for fire department. The big event to glorify Christ. And maybe 2020, we focus on equip the saints. We go back. Yes, we have Sunday school. We train the people. But we have the training maybe for all the churches on over, I don't know, U.S. We come here and get trained. So if we can do well, one thing beyond our wall, beyond of our resources, focus on one thing. And eventually, if we have more resources, we do two. And up to the point, we can do three. But at least we have to start somehow. So we get ready to go back to the next cycle. 2018, focus overseas, mission, send the people out. 2019, go back to the basic, worship God, have the training, big event. People come from other churches. And 2020, train the people again, go back to that cycle. And we also need to understand, sometimes we say that I love mankind, but it's the people I can't stand. Each one of us, deep down, we may say, I love the people. I know I love Asia. I love Africa. I love kind of thing, but the people we cannot stand. But our Lord Jesus Christ, His love, He's the source of love. So we have to love the people. We have to love, sometimes we have to put the blind on so we cannot see black, yellow, blue, green, whatever. Okay? We don't see the rights. But we see the people God loves, and the people God tried to bring in His kingdom. The people need to hear the message. Because a lot of people in pain right now, worried right now. And that's what we need to understand. That we need to link with Christ and with the help of the Holy Spirit so we can have the compassion to the people. And that's difficult. That's difficult. Because some of you, maybe you grew up in an environment, you know, there is some discrimination going on, different race, that kind of thing. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, we need to break that bondage. So we can see the people. We can see the heart of people. The people need Christ. I worked in the company way back. You know, I never think I'm the Vietnamese or the Asian until the people say, you are Asian. But I didn't know. But because I didn't know I'm an Asian, I didn't know I'm the Vietnamese. So that's the reason why I keep get promoted every 3 months. Up the point is the very high position of the company, Fortune 100 company, actually Fortune 50 company in a high position. But I didn't know. I'm not Asian. But I know and the people of Christ. And when I do the work, I do with compassion, I love the people, and I do the best for whatever to serve the people. And sometimes we have to rely on the Holy Spirit to help us. And because the people need Christ out there. And we need the realization of this power, verse 12 to 14. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of, a lot of name in here. Let me read verse 14. These on continue with one according in prayer, with supplication, with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brother. So according to Jesus Christ's instruction, they need to return to Jerusalem. It's been a return to the base. They return to the base, and what exactly they do? They pray together. So on the journey, on the Sabbath day, Saturday, from the Mount of Olivet, about 3 feet of the mount, and this group of people include 11 apostles, because Judas Iscariot was dead. And later on, if you study in the book of Acts, he replaced by Matthias and some woman, include the mother of Jesus Christ and Jesus' brother. So what exactly they do when they come back to Jerusalem? They stay in the upper room and pray. Pray is the critical element to receive the Holy Spirit or to refill of the Holy Spirit. So I pray to God, your prayer life had to be there. Set up the time to pray. Because prayer is not just today I feel good, I pray. Tomorrow I don't feel good, I'm not praying. And you will find out when you study the prayer life of Jesus Christ, when he's still on earth, it's very consistent every day around the same time, early, alone, pray. And prayer life had to be part of your walk with Christ. And just like I commit to the Lord and commit to the church, each one of you, I pray every day. I come to the church every day to pray. And I pray for each one of you. Of course, I pray for my family. I pray for each one of you on the list. So you're not on the list yet, let me know. Email me so you're on my list. On my list, I commit every day, pray for each one of you. Because as a shepherd, as a pastor, I always pray to keep you safe. I always pray when you deal with certain issues in life, daily life, the Holy Spirit will cover you to help you to overcome whatever the struggle, whatever the work, the challenge you had to face. And that's my commitment. And so far, I only missed one day. I think 2 weeks ago, because I had to have a conference in Dallas. So I had to drive up there, so I couldn't come to church. So I missed the church on that day. But so far, as the senior pastor for the last 3 years, I never missed one day, except a couple of days ago, I had to be in Dallas. Couldn't come to church to pray. Or even, no, actually 2 days. Sorry, because of a hurricane. The hurricane, I couldn't come to the church because on the roadblock, 2 days. Okay, I'm correct myself, 2 days. I couldn't come to the church and pray for you. Okay, so Jesus, right, already promised the Holy Spirit will come. So this group of people here, when they come together to pray, is the prayer expectation. Because a lot of people say, yes, you pray, accept Christ, and then the second event, the Holy Spirit kind of thing. But because I'm strongly believe when you truly pray and accept Christ as your Lord, your Savior, the same thing, the baptism of the Holy Spirit will happen. Okay? And when you, every day when you walk with the Lord, you refill of the Holy Spirit, filling up the Holy Spirit or refill of the Holy Spirit. So the question we could ask, how do we receive the power of the Holy Spirit? Based on the book of Romans chapter 8, Galatians chapter 2, verse 3. If you have trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord, your Savior, then God the Holy Spirit lives in you. So if somebody come to you and said, you have no Holy Spirit, so it's mean the conflict with Romans chapter 8, Galatians chapter 3, verse 2. Yes, you would find out a lot of people, yes, they may say in word, yes, I pray, I'm a Christian, I walk with the Lord, I pray, accept Christ, whatever. If it's just the word, it means nothing because they still use the head. And when we pray, accept Christ as our Lord, our Savior, it means we understand, it means from the head, but it's also linked with the heart when you pray. So that reason why the two have to link together so the Holy Spirit can do the work. Because a lot of people, they only believe up here. It won't work. But a lot of people, they only believe here, but they have nothing up here. So they become very, very chaos, emotion, but they have no knowledge. And the Bible talk, we need to understand, know up here, and we believe in our heart. The two have to link together. And that how the Holy Spirit works. The apostle, be not drunk with wine, but filled of the Holy Spirit. I'm still have few minutes left. Let me do the analysis so you understand. Be not drunk with wine, be filled with the Holy Spirit. When you study Greek, you will understand in the Greek language the word fill. Okay, some of you teacher, some of you English teacher, okay, this is the present, passive, imperative. Okay? So in the present tense, imply the continual action rather than just once for an experience in present tense. But in passive voice, because the term here is present, passive, imperative, passive voice means God does the feeling, not you. Okay? Imperative mode is mean a command. It is not but sin not to be filled with the Holy Spirit and is to be drunk with wine. It means you have to confess with your sin. The sin has to be out. So the filling of the Holy Spirit can be in. So that's the term. How many of you still in high school? Okay, you're still in high school and eventually you take the SAT. or ACT, English test. So you need to understand the present passive imperative. What exactly does it mean when you read the passage? So that's what it means. So the fill of the Holy Spirit is mean you have to allow the Lord to do the work. You don't have the power to do that. Okay? And the process of the Holy Spirit has to be continuous. It's not just up and down one day or just one event and then suddenly everything stops. So today, never be alone. I know some of you, you live alone. Some of you, you just check in college, still first year. Some of you eventually will graduate and get ready to take the board test. Some of you are probably a new job. Some of you probably starting new church. I don't know. But some loneliness and fear is in there. But the Bible talking about never be alone. Because the promise of the Holy Spirit is there. And He understands our need. And we need to realize that power God given us. So we can use it and apply it to our own life. So we can have peace. We have joy, we can encourage, so we can face everything. Let us stand up. So, you know the routine. Some of you are meeting here a couple of times and you know the routine. Okay, first time when we read exactly the word in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Okay, second time, put your name in there. You in there. Okay, first one, it's just like you, it means he commanded you. But the second time you read, you have to take it in. You, it means you. Put your name there, okay? Let's read together. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witness to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Okay, personalize this one to you. You got it? Got it? One more time. Make sure your name, not your neighbor, okay? Just like me, if I read, when Hong Sun received power, when the Holy Spirit has opened him, Hong Sun shall be witness to Jesus Christ in Houston, in Texas, in North America, and on the end of the earth. Okay? Because I don't think you will go to Jerusalem, but you know in Houston. But if you smaller scale, in my school, my friend, my neighbor, okay? Okay, now personalize one more time. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you very much because your word was very clear. You commanded us when we receive the power of the Holy Spirit, we witness about you, Jesus Christ, in Houston, Texas, in USA, in North America, and to the end of the earth. So I pray that we are always exalting you, we equip ourselves with your word, and when we have the opportunity to evangelize the lost, we will do it in your name. May God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit will be upon the church, on the people standing in this room, from now and forever. Amen.